B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So the ripple effects, there are many layers. As for structure of this deal, what does this do for the Chiefs and their salary cap right now and over the course of the next 10 to 12 years?
Well, listen, I think that they have a set number in mind, and they've always known that they could work with Patrick Mahomes' contract. They were looking for a little bit of relief this year to see if they could go sign a guy like Chris Jones to see what they could do with that contract. And look, when you've got a player under a contract this long, this deal will be reworked over and over. Whenever the Chiefs need space, Patrick Mahomes will be the first player that they go to. But I want to emphasize again here, this is the richest contract in sports history. I think we need to go back to that because we've seen some huge deals given out in baseball, and we've seen huge deals given out in basketball. But we've never seen a deal of this magnitude given out. And the timing of it is interesting in that it comes during a pandemic, before the NFL has negotiated its media rights deals, which are expected to skyrocket once it gets new money in. And so I think the Chiefs feel like they're getting a player whose numbers are only going to go up over time. And Patrick Mahomes is locking in money that who needs more than $477 million during the course of their lives? His children's children's children are taken care of at this point in time. And so there's a lot of money at stake here. And again, I don't think that the Chiefs cap is the story right now, okay, Kevin. The story is the richest contract in sports history.
p.m., hour number three here, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today. Jim Murray's alongside. Joe Murray is in the crystal chamber here to give us headlines. 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your calls here in 1 second. I do just want to say this quickly because I meant to say this earlier. Adam Schefter's comment there, you know, this isn't about the salary cap today. It's about the richest contract in the history of pro sports. Oh, shut up.
You put an asterisk on that.
Seriously, shut up. Like, don't tell me what I can and cannot talk about. You know, today it's about the richest contract in sports. First of all, Murray, to your point, the money's not all guaranteed.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. The only thing that really matters with any NFL contract, and that's why, like, when we talked, Joe and I talked about this yesterday, I mean, my first takeaway was if it's, you know, if it's real and it's 10 years and he plays the thing out, he's the only guy in the league that I don't think you can blink an eye at and say, like, well, of course Patrick Mahomes should probably get, like, $500 million. He's worth it, given the upside, the position he plays, all of that. But the money's not real, so talk to me what the guaranteed money is, and then we can have a real conversation.
Totally. And look, there are varying reports even on that. Tom Pelissero, and I heard Beatles say this on Zolak and Bertrand, otherwise known as the Midday Show. I heard Beatles say this today, that Pelissero had more details than anyone else did, and he's right. Guaranteed money this week upon signing, $63 million. There are 140 in there in injury guarantees, and I was going to say Newton. Mahomes gets an additional 40 or so, call it, next March on the third day of the league year. So the Chiefs aren't going to cut him then. Okay, so I think we can safely say that $103 million in guaranteed money at this time next year. I mean, that's pretty good.
I think that's still good by the Chiefs. Okay. And a win for the Chiefs because the Rams gave 110 guaranteed to that puppet, Jared Goff, who stinks.
Absolutely. So, look, from that standpoint, that's a good point. Now, look, there's going to be a similar type of mechanism every year where Mahomes gets a huge guarantee on the third day of the league year every year. And this also allows the Chiefs the ability to renegotiate, you know, restructure in case they need to keep other players. And so he's absolutely playing ball to some degree, but the number is astronomical.
Yeah.
Okay, for football, the number is astronomical.
But again, a crock, too. What was the other thing I read that also proves it's a crock? I think the contract that I read correctly, that is, it's like 117 pages long. Come on. Like, that's how you know. If it was guaranteed money and it was a real contract, it'd be 2 pages tops. 117 pages, there's a lot of fine print there.
Oh, of course. I mean, of course. And again, he'll never see the end of this deal. We all know that. Very few players in the NFL get to the end of their deals without either there being a restructure or the player being released. And in the case of Mahomes, it'll be multiple restructures before he gets to the end of the deal. But it did raise some interesting questions. And I'm sorry, this is, I was saying that this thing that Adam Schefter at the end of his comment there, like it's about the richest contract in sports. No, it isn't. I don't give a rat's ass about that. Like what? So he gets the title from Mike Trout. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. So what, to me, the part of the story that's always relevant is, what does it mean for the league? What does it mean for the competitors in the league? And I always try to put some sort of local spin on it. So I wonder, would the Patriots, if the Patriots had a guy like Patrick Mahomes, if they were the Chiefs, he was in year three, would they have given him this kind of contract? And I don't think the Patriots would, and I'm not sure they're entirely wrong for it either. I'm paying Mahomes. I'm paying him. I think the kid's a winner. I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's a leader. I think he's smart. I think the players on the offense and on the team respond to him.
He's the face of the league.
All of that. All of that. So I would absolutely pay him. But a team like the Patriots, with their value system, I'm not sure they would. So my big takeaway from the whole thing is, oh boy, you were lucky to have Tom Brady all those years. Not just because he was good, because he played ball. And I mean play ball at the contract table. He was willing to do what was necessary to continue winning and ultimately to appease the team and to appease his bosses, at least until the very end.
Yeah, he wasn't willing to fight.
So right, exactly.
Which now, is such an odd juxtaposition for someone who is so maniacal and obsessed with winning when it came to his craft and on the field. Off the field, he was like, yeah, all right, fine. Like, just meek, you know? It's such an odd juxtaposition.
Absolutely, yeah.
It makes no sense.
And Murray, I don't know which one Mahomes is, okay? But this is an easy deal to say yes to if you're a player.
Yeah.
The thing I'd be, you know, I told you I have some concerns with Mahomes. I'll tell you what, let's take a couple of calls. I see a couple of you there. Again, we do have a couple of lines open, 617-779-0985. When you first saw the Mahomes deal, what did you think? And if you're a Patriots fan and you're a Patriots loyalist, a blind Patriots loyalist, admit it. You looked at the contract and part of you said the Chiefs are stupid. You did. You said that. I know you did. Some of you. Others, I would like to think you'd say that if you had Patrick Mahomes, you would pay him. I know I would. Chris is in Gloucester. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes, you know what? Hey, if you can get the money, they're willing to pay for it, take it. I'll be an idiot. Take it. But anyways, my call was about, I've been a season ticket holder for 26 years, and I got this notice yesterday about how they're going to offer free parking for anybody who goes to the game. Don't they know that we're in phase four of the pandemic, which means we can't open unless there's a cure or a medical breakthrough that can take this thing under control? There's never going to be fans in the stadium, so why they even offer? They might as well offer us free beer and popcorn while they're at it.
Yeah, so Chris, I heard about this too, and don't go anywhere yet. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second. Murray, should I care about this?
I don't think so.
I mean, this is one of those things that, like, I mean, is there a huge benefit there for a fan? Probably not. But I don't know. I'm not going to get overly bent out of shape about it. In the interim, Chris, let me ask you a question. If the Patriots had a guy like this and signed him to this kind of contract, would you support them or would you say they were doing something stupid?
Oh, definitely support them.
So, again, so you think the Chiefs are doing the right thing by giving Mahomes that kind of money?
Yeah. Somebody else is going to give it to him.
Okay.
I mean, look at all the players that the Red Sox lost to the Yankees because they opened up their checkbook.
Okay. I just want to make sure because, again, you know, Patriots fans believe in that system. And I do wonder if some of you look at the Mahomes deal now and you say, wow, the Chiefs are really stupid to give them that sort of contract. We had a guy call up earlier today that said that. Boy, the Chiefs are stupid. Ken in Marshfield, do you think the Chiefs are stupid? Ken in Marshfield.
Ken.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know why they would give him that much money right away like that. Look at Russell Wilson. He's been to 2 Super Bowls and beat the GOAT. I mean, I'm sorry, he lost against the GOAT, but he won his first one. And the thing is...
Well, wait, but Ken, wait a minute, though. The Seahawks gave Wilson a big contract after that.
Yeah, but it's not half a billion.
Look how much it is, bud. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
Okay, there's just bad analogy.
Look at his age, dude.
Yeah, bad analogy. The Seahawks paid Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's worth that money, too. No. That team was mostly garbage last year, and they got to, what, the divisional round of the playoffs last year? And there was a case you could have made for Russell Wilson to win the MVP in 2019.
I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, here's the argument you should be making, and I'll make it for you, because I actually think there's some merit to it. Now, again, I personally would pay Mahomes, and I'm not a cap guy, because I think, again, the cap is just accounting. But I do believe in a budget. Like, teams do have a budget on what they can spend, whether that's related to the cap or not. And I think if you spend too much of your budget, too much of your payroll on one player, then it can ultimately adversely affect the rest of the roster. Peyton Manning only won 2 Super Bowls in his career. Tom Brady won 6. Were they that far apart? My answer is no. I would tell you the big differences between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are that Brady was clutch, Manning wasn't. And also, at the end of the day, you know, Brady had a better coach. I say the big differences. There's a few. But I would also say that Manning was always pretty much insistent on being the highest paid quarterback in the league. And at some point, that had to affect the roster a little bit.
Yeah, there's other 2 examples, too. There was one of those Breeze deals in the last decade or so that kind of hamstrung them for a little bit. And then the other one's Joe Flacco, who bet on himself in a free agency year, goes balls out in that playoff run in 2012, wins the Super Bowl MVP, gets this massive deal in 2013, and then the Ravens kind of go sideways there until they end up drafting Lamar Jackson and luck out with him.
But I don't think there'll be another quarterback that makes this kind of money. Look at everybody that's got. Russell Wilson already got his. Goff got his. Like, Lamar Jackson, is he probably, like, who knows what Joe Burrow will be, but he got big money as a number one overall pick. I don't think there's another player. Not Dak Prescott, not Deshaun Watson. I don't think there's another player in the league that could even be near this type of money. The other thing here I think that everyone is forgetting is he wants to stay in Kansas City. Like, he's going to be there now for at least 5 years. Like, people are going to want to play in Kansas City, probably take less money like they did with the Patriots. You know, we always saw guys sign on with the Pats over the years. Like, he wants to stay here. He wants to build with that team. And the other thing is, I mentioned this earlier, he could have could have threatened to be a free agent and played that game with the Chiefs. He decided not to do that, did them a favor. He's going to get money up front. But long term, he could have gotten more money if he every year kept, you know, restructuring the deal or trying to get a new deal. Instead, I think he could have made more than $500 million in his career if he went that route.
So he probably could have, Joe. You're probably right. I mean, but to me, the part of the conversation that, from a sports perspective, that I always find interesting is, at what point are you sacrificing the good of your team to keep one player happy? Somewhere there's a balance. Somewhere there's a line where you say, I just can't pay him. I can't go to that number. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, you know, you'd pay him $60 million if he wanted it, wouldn't you? If you had to keep him? So, but at some point there, the number reaches a stage where you say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's going to hurt the team. It's going to hurt the operation. I can't bring myself to that point. And with Mahomes, I do wonder if we're getting close. That's a big-ass number, man. If it's $47, $45 million a year, $10 million more, basically, than any other quarterback in the league, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, because Murray, I'm with you, Jim Murray. I think he's the Jordan of the league, or he's going to be the Jordan of the league. And if he's my quarterback, I'm paying him. If he were on the Patriots, I'm not sure they would do this deal. And I'm not sure they'd be wrong. And so, again, but you tell me, and I mean that as Patriots fans, you tell me, am I nuts to think that? Or is it all 100% about the quarterback? Because I could show you a million quarterbacks that didn't win as much as they should have. And, you know, some of those guys were probably overpaid, Brett Favre being one of them. 1 Super Bowl for Brett Favre. 1. He won 1 Super Bowl. Like, that's a borderline disgrace.
Yeah, there should have been another one there. And you can say the same thing right now about Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Another good one. It must be a Green Bay thing, Murray. I see you all lined up there. We'll get to your calls when we come back.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mads. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With that bar being set with this man, the ripple effect with other quarterbacks, including Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, how will those guys kind of actually benefit after a deal like this?
And that is an interesting question. Because now we've seen the average price for a quarterback, and albeit the best quarterback in the league, go to $45 million a year. Dak Prescott's on that 31.4. There's been a dispute over the money. He could obviously argue he's worth more money. But the Dallas Cowboys, who wanted him to sign a five-year deal, could say, look at the quarterback in Kansas City. He just took a 10-year deal. You won 4 years. We won 5 years. What's the big deal with five? That's half the length of time that Patrick Mahomes is getting in Kansas City with the Chiefs, right? And so there is the disagreement. I think Dak Prescott becomes empowered on the money. Dallas becomes empowered on the length of the contract. You tell me how that's going to work out. And Deshaun Watson, same draft class as Patrick Mahomes, has done everything he has except win a Super Bowl. So he's going to make the argument, well, if Patrick Mahomes is worth $45 million, then certainly I can make my case for $45 million. And even if you don't think he's as good as Patrick Mahomes, is he $1 million a year less? $2 million a year less? He's right in that neighborhood. And so the price has just gone up on Deshaun Watson. It's gone up on Dak Prescott, you would think. It's gone up on all the quarterbacks. And again, this is a landmark deal that will have ripple effects across the rest of the National Football League.
So again, it's the NFL we're talking about here. The money's never real. As much as Patrick Mahomes' contract is listed at $477 million, the number goes to over $500 if you include the next 2 years. Again, this is a 10-year extension that begins in 2022. So Mahomes has already signed for the next 2 years. It's 10 on top of that. And we'll keep him in Kansas City through 2031, 12 seasons. But the extension, $477 million. $477 million, he won't see all of it. It's fine. But the quarterback market now, I think we can all agree, has changed dramatically. So before I get to your calls, just quickly, this is sort of the point, is that now, are you better off with Patrick Mahomes at, just for the sake of argument, you better off with Patrick Mahomes at $45, $47 million, on average, if that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Or do you think Bill Belichick likes the idea if he can develop Jarrett Stidham to have him at, call it, 20? Eventually.
I mean, Bill is certainly more comfortable with the latter. I'd rather have Mahomes at, you know, close to $50 million.
What do you think the Patriots would rather have? Not just Bill, but the Patriots overall.
Oh, I would think that they would want to pay Patrick Mahomes, because he's a special talent. Again, face of the league. It's not just what he can do for you on the field and help you win championships. It's all the other stuff, too. Asses in seats, selling merchandise. You know, it's the Jordan effect. Like, you know, you're saying he's now the Jordan of the league. I think that all plays into it. So as an organization, the Crafts, yeah, I think that they want to pay him because he's worth it.
See, from a business standpoint, he's worth it. I just wonder, I wonder about the budgetary elements of it. In other words,
Bill will take the lesser guy for less money because he'll be able to win with it.
So I wonder how Patriots fans feel about that. Again, if you want a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you got to pay out the nose for him, right? Jimmy and Brockton, what do you got?
I think it's just a little too much money. A lot of things can happen in 10 years. Well, actually 12. He likes to throw off his back foot. You know, he gets nailed.
So Jimmy, you wouldn't give him the money.
I just think it's too much.
Okay,
really
but you do recognize, Jimmy, that the contract is not fully guaranteed. So that correct. 5 years down the road, you know, when you say it's too long, it's really not too long. So even if it were phony money, you wouldn't give Patrick Mahomes his contract?
I believe he's worth a lot of money, but I just think that's just too much.
So if the Patriots if the Patriots had Patrick Mahomes and gave him this much money, you think they'd be stupid?
Yes, okay. I'll admit it.
All right.
All right. At least he's consistent.
All right. I just, again, I just want to get an assessment of it. Because Mahomes now, Mahomes is your new Manning. He's the guy you got to beat. Year in and year out. He's the guy you're going to have to beat for a long, long time. It's almost like Giannis with the Celtics. Right? If you're going to get there, you're going to have to beat that guy. And I think Mahomes is...
Yeah, outside of some sort of catastrophic injury, this guy's going to be a problem for a lot of years.
Oh, I'll say. Joe's in Fall River. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, listen, guys, I agree with you. I think he's going to be tough to beat for a long years, but definitely I can't pay him that kind of money. No way. You saw what the Patriots have done for years, right? We've won, what, 6 Super Bowls, went to 9 Super Bowls in 20 years, and we never did that. We never paid that kind of guy that kind of money. So for the Chiefs to do that, I only think it's going to become headaches for them towards the future, because now who are they going to get to support them in the future? They're not going to be able to pay anybody if they're paying just one guy.
So, Joe, do you think if the Patriots had paid Brady that they wouldn't have won all those Super Bowls?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you. Because I think the Patriots wasted a lot of money in there, and I think part of the reason you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady is that you can then put lesser pieces around them and elevate them. That's what I think. So this idea that the Patriots couldn't pay Brady and win, I mean, it's a nice thing for them to have now. It's a nice argument for them to make. I just don't think it's true. I think that they'd have been able to save in some other spots or not save at all, and they still would have won every bit as much as they did. Like
I agree with you. And it's, you know, when it really comes down to it, and it's sort of a false narrative. The real narrative is that Brady was a sucker with his contract time and time and time again. They had him over a barrel because he like felt bad about it. You know,
No, I'm sorry, Murray, but the caller just did it there. Look at the way the Patriots do what he said. The reality is that Brady allowed it. Brady allowed
it.
So if Brady had said no, what were they going to do? Trade him? Were they going to cut him? They're going to move on?
No.
I don't know. Maybe.
No.
But I doubt it.
Or they could put the screws to him and threaten that, or, you know, draft someone like Jimmy Garoppolo. They had the guy, Mike. And then, you know, that lights a fire under his ass. But they just knew, like, at the end of the day, that Brady was always going to come back and be like, all right, I'll take your crap deal.
Murray, if you're going to say it like that, you got to say it in the voice.
They had the guy, Mike.
There you go. All right, look, again, I see you all there, so don't go anywhere. I question whether the Patriots would pay a guy like this. And I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong. Talk about sitting on the fence, like straddling it. God, I get the pickets from that fence going right up my mail slot, as we would say. But Joe Murray has got your headlines, again, in the Crystal Chamber. Oh, God, I crack myself up. I really do. And then when we come back, more of your phone calls and something Dan Orlovsky said on Get Up that I think will really annoy Patriots fans, and rightfully so. We'll get to that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Greeny, I believe that coming off yesterday's contract news, that is the reason why he signed that contract. So it's to go chase down Tom Brady. I honestly believe that. I said this on your show 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, that I thought he was going to take less than he technically could because he wanted to have support around him. And so this is about a legacy chase now. And Patrick Mahomes, in 10 years, we are going to have a conversation. Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Who is the greater player when it comes to their career?
Dan Orlovsky cannot get up. It's a legacy play for Patrick Mahomes. He's coming for Brady. Coming for Brady. I don't know, it feels a little early to be making that comparison. In the same breath, I'd tell you if Patrick Mahomes won 3 Super Bowls, four Super Bowls, would I be surprised? No. Chris is in a car. Chris, go.
Maz, you answered my question, but if the cap is fake, then if Brady was making the equivalent of $45 million a year, you think he would still win the, you know, seven, six Super Bowls, whatever?
Yep.
Why guys that have paid that much money, Manning, all those other quarterbacks, why can't they get more than one, two Super Bowls? Like, what would you base on?
So you think it's all about the roster, Chris. You don't think it has anything to do with the coach or the quarterback's ability to perform under pressure when in the clutch? You don't think it's those things?
Those are all factors, but I'm just going on how many actual Super Bowls are won by guys that are overpaid, not overpaid, but paid the most.
Okay, so I'll tell you, look, it's a good question. It's a good question, and I let him go because I do think it's central to the discussion. Is at what point are you giving too much to one guy?
I just ultimately believe in the singular talent of the player that gets that kind of money. In Mahomes' case, I think he's worth it. If Brady got that kind of money, I think he would be worth it. Look at some of these other stiffs or guys that flashed for a season or two and then got, you know, a massive amount of money, and then it ultimately ruined their team. Joe Flacco, more recently Jared Goff of the LA Rams. Like, that's a terrible deal.
Yeah, the only beef I'd have with that is Jared Goff got their team to the playoffs. Cam Newton got to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton got him to a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo got him to a Super Bowl. Like, they all were in position to be in. All these guys got paid great money. Even the Eagles, when they paid Wentz, but really it was Foles. But, like, if you look at it, though, guys still got paid the money and went to the Super Bowls. They just didn't win them. And if you look at it, some of these decisions, it might be on the coach. Garoppolo could have won this year. That game could have been won, but the coach blew it. So, like, to your point, Maz, like, some of these guys didn't have the greatest coaches in the greatest situations, but a lot of the players who have been paid, they did go to Super Bowls, they just didn't win.
Okay, so, some of those guys I think were great players, others weren't. Like, it's one thing to say a guy got to one Super Bowl. That doesn't make him a great player, not in my mind, Joe.
No, that's right, you're right.
So, but you want to talk like Peyton Manning. Okay, he's always a good one with Brady for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. They were contemporaries. Peyton Manning got to how many? Four? Five? Two? Did he get to two with Denver?
06, 09, just one with Denver.
Three, I think.
Three, that's it.
Okay, so he won two out of three. So he should have been there more, too. And I would say in Manning's case, he was always insistent on him being the highest paid. But if Manning had Belichick as his coach, would he have gone to more than three?
Likely, yeah.
I'd say yes, and I'd say he would have won more than two. And so, but in the same breath, again, to me, to get back to what is the core of the argument, at what point does it become too much? And I looked this up online the other day, and I found it in our, again, Vinny Crouch, our producer on the simulcast. Vinny, I gave him the info earlier in the day. The highest percentage of salary cap money ever committed to a Super Bowl winning quarterback was Steve Young in 1994. I don't even remember the exact year the salary cap came in, but it was right around that time. So they were in the infancy stages of the salary cap era. So I'm not sure, like, that even counts.
Yeah.
And number two was Brady in 2018 at about 12.5%. And I would tell you that the Patriots kind of lucked into that one, relatively speaking. Now, Brady had some others here where he was over 10. But we know that the Crafts don't want to commit 20% of their payroll. And again, it's done in cap dollars, but just call it the budget. Just call it the budget. They don't want to commit 20% of their budget to one player. I'm not sure they're wrong for believing that. In the same breath, I would tell you, if I have Patrick Mahomes, I'm paying him.
Yeah, he's worth it. But going back,
particularly if Bill Belichick is my coach.
Even with, I think Andy Reid is a good match in terms of coach for Patrick Mahomes, though. And going back to the Orlovsky clip that we played coming back from commercial. So, he says that Mahomes might be able to match Brady as a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, that feels premature to me, and I love Mahomes, and I think he's deserving this money. So I wanted to look, too. You only had five times in NFL history as a quarterback won at least three Super Bowls in a 10-year stretch, and Brady's done it twice.
Aikman.
Aikman, 90-99, yep.
Bradshaw?
Yep, four Super Bowl appearances from 70-79.
And?
Your guy. Joe.
Oh, Montana, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, God, how did I forget that one, Mark?
By the way, Manning.
It's funny, you said your guy, and I was going to say Garoppolo.
Yeah.
What do you got, Joe?
I was going to say Manning went to four Super Bowl. I had to look it up.
Okay, it was four. Double check. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I thought oh, right, because he went to one with Denver where he got killed.
Oh, right, there, the Seattle one.
Yeah, I was going to say it was four or five.
Lost to the Saints and then beat the Bears.
Yeah, that's right. Quickly, Bill in Newton. Bill, what do you got?
Hey, listen, per your question about the Patriots and whether they would pay this guy, they have no choice anymore. The Patriots, if they have a player and the market is willing to pay that player, they are now gone if the Patriots don't want to pay them, because they don't have the Tom Brady luxury anymore. They don't have other players in the league that are going to come here and play for less. Because Brady did it. It's just not going to happen. It's gone. If the players are, look at all the players they lost this offseason. They paid nobody except Devin McCourty. And Devin McCourty couldn't cover Mark Bertrand on a 5-yard out right now. And that's the best free agent they got.
I don't know about that. I think McCourty could cover Beadle. Maybe not a lot of guys he could. So this guy believes that the Patriots don't have leverage anymore because they don't have Brady. What if Stidham can play?
What if Newton's fine?
Cam Newton's good.
Yeah. Right. So I'm even thinking long term. I don't know if Cam Newton would play ball with him on the contract. I wonder if Jarrett Stidham would. Well, Jarrett Stidham's a fourth-round pick. Cam Newton. So this is another distinction between Mahomes and Brady. Mahomes was, what, the 10th pick in the draft? Is that what he was, Murray? Number 10 overall?
Top 15, I want to say.
Somewhere in there, right? I think he was number 10 in Deshaun Watson. I get him and Deshaun Watson, their draft position mixed up. But I want to say Mahomes might have been even like 7. And the Chiefs moved up to get him, I think, if I remember right.
That's, again, imagine if you were the Bears. Like.
So that's another good one.
Yeah, Mahomes, 10th overall.
Okay, he was number 10 overall. Brady was 199. 199. Tom Brady was worried that he wouldn't be in the league if he didn't play ball with the Patriots. Patrick Mahomes, talk about the pedigree of a superstar and of a winner. That kid's got it all.
Hey, Matt, just to throw this idea, the Patriots have over $100 million in cap space next year. Let's hypothetically say someone comes along. Deshaun Watson, I don't know who else. Do you think they'd pay that guy to come here?
No.
I know he just signed a 5th-year deal or whatever, but hey, if they make the trade, they don't want him to play on that last year.
So, Joe, I would like to say yes. I would like to say yes. But I just don't know that they would ever commit to giving those kinds of resources to one player. And obviously we're talking quarterback, because at that position, if you get up near 20%, I mean, the cap this year is right around $200 million. Okay, 200. So, you know, 20% of that is a $40 million player. But I think the Patriots, even if you creep up over 15 or in the range of 15, I think that makes them a little skittish. And again, I can't say I totally blame them, particularly when you have Belichick as a coach. This is why you pay Bill what you pay him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
You said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I played in Boston so many times. The history speaks for itself. But for this one time when I went to Boston for this game 6, I felt absolutely nothing.
I don't think many people would ever think about that game when they think about my career. But for me, that was the one.
When.
Quick trailer there from an upcoming series on Apple TV called Greatness Code. And it's described as, and I'm reading directly from the internet now, described as a landmark short form unscripted series directed by Gautam Chopra and co-produced by Uninterrupted and Religion of Sports, that spotlights untold stories from the greatest athletes in the world. So you are now going to say, why the hell are you playing me this in the middle of a Patrick Mahomes discussion? And I'm going to tell you, because it relates to Tom Brady. That second voice you heard was Brady. And the reason I'm mentioning it, because I like the concept, Greatness Code. It's sort of a cool name. Like, the idea is, let's tap into these athletes about the moments that they achieved their pinnacle, where their performance was, as they would say, damn near perfect. The first voice you heard there was LeBron James. And LeBron James was talking about, you heard him say, I went into game 6 in Boston.
Oh, I didn't even know about this show or anything like this, but I know LeBron's voice. It's pretty noticeable. I knew exactly what he was talking about. I mean, that's the game that I always look at and still do as the moment that the switch flipped for LeBron James. You could no longer mock LeBron James because that was the game, the 45 points in Game 6 here in Boston. It's like, oh, he finally figured it out. And then we know what happened in Game 7, and he's finally got over the hump. He was able to win championships. Like, that was the game, and it was like, oh, LeBron finally figured it out.
I mean, that was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, Murray. June 7, 2012. And again, just bear with me here for a second, but the Celtics won Game 5 in Miami. And this was in the final sort of legs of the Garnett years. And they really were not on the same level as Miami, but they were up 3-2 going home. Up 3-2 going home.
I remember thinking it was over. And most Celtics fans did.
And LeBron in 45 minutes that night, 45 points, 19 for 26 from the floor, 13 of 15 from the line. He had, I read that wrong. He had 15 rebounds, 13 defensive, 15 rebounds, 5 of 9 from the line, 5 assists. He was a machine, completely dominated, took over the game. Okay, 45 points, 15 rebounds. They couldn't stop him. He completely dominated and took over the game. That's the game that LeBron picked. Game 6 in Boston against the Celtics. I would say probably the defining moment of his career.
And good for him, because I would think maybe like some hardcore LeBron stands would be like, it should be Game 7 against the Warriors, the block against Iguodala, all of that. That's the Game 6 here is that in 2012. That's LeBron's best game. It is.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think so, too. I think that was LeBron's best game. I agree. I mean, that was his whole identity changed with that one.
So what's Brady talking about?
Okay, so this is what I was getting at.
Because I'm going to be irked if it's not what I want it to be.
Okay, so what would you pick, Murray?
The Super Bowl against the Seahawks, that fourth quarter. It's his best performance. 13 to 15, buck 24, two touchdowns against one of the best defenses of the last 20 years, or maybe top 25 all time. That fourth quarter is Brady's high watermark, his Mona Lisa. That's him at his best.
I mean, that's what I would have picked.
What did he pick?
I would have picked that, or I would have picked maybe the second half of the Atlanta game. You know, in that, you know.
Sure.
But honestly, Seattle. Seattle's the one. The fourth quarter of the Seattle game, that's absolutely the one. Joe Murray, if I were to say to you, LeBron James picked Game 7 against Boston Game 6 against Boston in Boston in 2012, what would Brady pick? What would you say?
This is weird, but it's the Eagles Super Bowl they lost. He was flawless in that game besides that turnover.
That's a good one, too.
Okay. You know what Brady picked? Week 10 in 2007 at Buffalo.
Huh?
What?
The Patriots won the game 56-10.
Oh, come on.
Brady was 31 of 39 for 5 touchdowns. He had a rating of 146.1. Okay, now, oddly enough,
pick the Colts or Dallas game from that year. At least those were competitive. And
if you go by rating alone, it was Brady's third best game of the year, not of his career. Of the year. He had a perfect rating in a game at Miami in which he threw 6 touchdowns. And he had a rating near perfect against Buffalo at home, 150.9. He picked a game as a, you know, as his, for the documentary Greatness Code. He picked week 10 against Buffalo in a 56-10 rout.
That's annoying.
That's the game Tom Brady picked. Doesn't that piss you off?
That's equivalent to picking, you know, like the snow game in 09 here against Tennessee where it's like 59-10. He's putting up video game numbers. Like, pick that one then. So, all right, maybe he can explain this away by saying once the show premieres, like, it just felt so easy. I've never had it come that easy. It was like I was seeing plays, you know, 5 seconds before they happened. Like, okay. But, dude, come on.
You know why it felt easy? Because it was. It was
right.
Buffalo.
That's
it
annoying.
It was the Bills.
That's annoying.
He has more wins in Buffalo than
any Buffalo quarterback.
Yeah, except for Jim Kelly. Oh, yeah. That's it. Oh, seriously, more wins there than any of those clowns. 56-10 in Buffalo. Greatness code. That's the game you pick? Oh, God, please. I saw that. I wanted to puke. I had to get that out. John's in Connecticut. John, go.
How's it going? So, Maz, I'm going to have to argue with you about, you know, that if Tom Brady took top money the whole time, that, you know, they would still win 6 Super Bowls and go to 10 Super Bowls. and use Peyton Manning as an example. I mean, the guy went to four Super Bowls. And if he played for Bill Belichick, he wouldn't be the top paid quarterback to begin with, because everything that Kraft does on contracts is really just the direction that Bill wants it.
Yeah, John, so don't start, you know, changing the timeline after you change the particulars. Like, things would have evolved differently.
How so?
So when you say if Bill were his coach, he wouldn't have been the highest paid guy. Like, okay, fine, I get that. But the point is, do you believe that the Patriots and Tom Brady, the Patriots won because Tom Brady took less?
I think that they won as much as they did because he took less at the right time. I think if he was the top paid guy constantly during his prime and everything, they wouldn't have won as much. I mean, would they have won? Probably. But, I mean, that's easy to say now.
I don't think that's it. I don't think it's because Brady took less. I don't. This is one of my criticisms of Brady during his time as quarterback of the Patriots. I don't think they necessarily invested that money in ways that helped the team win. I think that history will bear that out. In fact, more often than not, I would tell you that sometimes Brady taking the cuts prevented him from winning championships. And when I say the cuts, when Brady taking less. In 2006, did it help Brady or hurt Brady? They didn't pay Deion Branch. They didn't give him receivers. How about 2019? Did it help him or hurt him? And again, maybe by then he wasn't taking quite as much less as he did in the past. But you get the idea. I don't think that's it. I don't think it's it. I think it could have been both. And so at the end of the day, so it, as much as it was about the Patriot system, it was Brady's willingness to play ball. And again, I mean that at the contract table. It was Brady's willingness to work with the team that made it happen. It wasn't the team system. If Brady had been unwilling to cooperate, and so I give the credit to Brady. I don't give the credit to the Patriots. Now, if Belichick ends up winning a bunch of titles with Jarrett Stidham and it completely, you know, he pulls the same trick and Stidham, you know, plays for $15 million or he wins one with Brian Hoyer, well, then we can start to tab that discussion. But I don't think it's because Tom Brady took less money that the Patriots won all those Super Bowls. I would argue that if Brady had been willing to take a little bit more and fight them on it, that they might have actually won a little more. Because I think a couple of years in there, they screwed him on the roster. 06 is the easy one. I'd have to think of some of the others. But 06 is an easy one. If Brady was saving him money, they didn't put it back in the receiving corps then.
Well, they porked him that year.
And he got to the AFC Championship game anyway, and they could have won it if their defense not been completely shot. But anyway, I just, in the wake of the Mahomes contract, again, it's just it's an interesting thing to look at. At what point do you commit too much to the quarterback? It's not a cap question. It's just a sheer budgetary, you know, accounting thing. When you look at it and you say, at what point are we giving too much to one guy? At what point do we cross that line? And have the Chiefs crossed it? I don't think they have. But I know there are Patriots fans out there who think they have. We've heard from a couple of them today. We'll hear more from you after Joe Murray gets you caught up on headlines. This time he does.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.